Views and opinions expressed during the drive time are those of Dave Glover and his guests and are not those of Northumberland 89.7. Agree, disagree, or have a comment? Call the station and speak with Dave live on the air. Call 905-372-2321. That's 905-372-2321. Now your host, Dave Glover.
Alrighty, welcome back. And welcome back to The Drive Time. This is our weekly installment of Consider This Live. Joining me in the studio is our community producer, Rob Washburn. He's a professor of e-journalism at Loyalist College. And our guest this afternoon is Janet Irvins. Now, her career in education as a teacher, special education department head, vice principal, and advocate for teenagers has won her the Ontario Secondary School Teachers Federation Provincial Award for Distinguished Service for Education and Community. She has a master's in education, specialist qualification in reading and special education, and has completed postgraduate studies in psychology and English. Janet is an accomplished musician and has directed a variety of musicals, also involving teenagers and youth. Her career, her extensive involvement in extracurricular activities, her community service, and her own family of four have provided her with insight into the many ramifications of bullying in schools and into the forces that create school terrorists and targets. Her appreciation of the tumultuous teenage years enables her to write about her high school culture, bullies, and victims with accuracy and sensitivity. She is our guest this afternoon. As you can guess it, folks, we're going to be talking about mental health issues here in the county, but also, and also I should note that she's been on a bit of a talking tour as well, talking to the various town councils as well as county council. Before we get to the conversation, we always like to try and play a song that is relevant to our conversation. This one is, well, not so relevant, but here's Patsy Cline and Crazy on Truly Local Radio, Northumberland 89.7.
Crazy, I'm crazy for feeling so lonely. I'm crazy, crazy for feeling so blue. I knew you'd love me as long as you wanted, and then someday you'd leave me for somebody new. Worry, why do I let myself worry? Wondering what in the for thinking that my love could hold you. I'm crazy for trying and crazy for crying, and I'm crazy for loving you. Crazy for thinking that my for love.
Patsy Cline and her classic from 1961, Crazy, a song written by Willie Nelson, for those of you that don't know. And joining us in the studio, as I said, is Janet Irvin, and she is currently the executive director at Northumberland Counseling Centers, and Rob Washburn is here as well. Welcome to the show, Janet.
Thank you.
Very, very happy to have you here, because, of course, Rob and I, since we started doing this show, must be 3 years ago now, have been talking off and on about mental health-related issues as it pertains to youth and teenage years. And there have been lots of cases of late of situations where youth have found themselves basically in limbo when it comes to issues of mental health. And you have been an advocate for youth in these issues for a long time.
Definitely have been for a long time.
Now, how did you get interested in dealing with this particular aspect of education?
Well, I served on the board of directors for the Northumberland Community Counseling Center, and from there took the opportunity to take my business and provide some management with going in as the executive director.
Mm-hmm.
I am very interested in family counseling, in looking at the whole family unit and in looking at the whole person as we talk about mental health. And so the family services counseling fit in with what I believe counseling should be. It's a preventative program in many ways because we deal with mild to moderate mental illness,
mm-hmm.
which means we don't deal with mental illness that requires medication, that is... that are things like schizophrenia, mm-hmm. those things we leave to the medical profession. But when you catch mental illness issues at an early stage where people are coming in and saying, I can't deal with this right now, I need some help, that's mm-hmm. when you can really make a difference.
Can you tell us a little bit about the Northumberland Community Counseling Center? It's not an organization too many people might know about.
No, it has had a pretty low profile in the community, but we are growing, and we are a family services counseling agency. We're located at 800 Division Street, which is in the old ARCS building.
Mm-hmm.
We provide counseling for ministries. The ministry counseling is targeted counseling, so mm-hmm. where they provide funding for us, for example, to run the partner abuse response program,
mm-hmm.
Which is mandated by the courts. We also receive funding to provide counseling for violence against women programs, for child abuse counseling, for child witness of abuse counseling. So that's a portion of what we do.
Mm-hmm.
The other portion, and really our mandate in the community, is to provide community counseling. And we have, and as such, we provide nonprofit counseling for everyone who comes to our door saying they need it. So we get referrals from doctors, from other agencies,
mm-hmm.
and we get self-referrals, which is totally different from any other service in the county.
Now, just very quickly, the fee structure then, would it be, how does that work? So if I was somebody and I self-referred and I wanted to come to you to get some counseling, can you give us an idea of how that funding works?
Yes. We ask for you to divulge your income. We ask everyone to pay $5 fee per hour session. We feel that is a evidence of a buy-in to the
mm-hmm.
program. And then we have a sliding scale that goes from $5 to $100, depending on your income.
Wow. Now, a lot of your work has been with youth, particularly the high school culture. As many people know, I mean, those can be the most traumatic years of anyone's life. They go by pretty quickly. And, you know, but they do leave, there are permanent, I don't want to use the word scars necessarily, but there are permanent reminders for people. Some people think of high school as the greatest time of their lives, but for a lot of people, myself included, quite frankly, high school was, well, I always thought high school was a place they put you till you were old enough to vote. That was my biggest problem with high school, and the fact that, you know, you're sort of thrown into the lion's den when it comes to high school, and then, you know, there's all the various cliques, there's all the social structure. A lot of people are ill-equipped to deal with that. And are those issues that you have dealt with in the past then with youth?
They are. In fact, we are just ending a five-year program that has been funded by Ontario Trillium Foundation. Mm-hmm. We work with Rebound, Children and Youth Services, to provide a preventative program in the schools for children and youth at risk of violence, either being perpetrating violence or being victims of violence. When the preventative group piece isn't enough, individuals are referred for individual counseling to the Northumberland Community Counseling Center.
Mm-hmm.
I might point out, though, that this is a real area of need in Northumberland because we don't have, for example, a children's mental health office or services in,
right, yeah,
in our area. So often, I think often youth fall between the cracks more than perhaps any other age group. And so we definitely need to look at that.
Well, you know, you talk about terrorists working into force that create school terrorists and targets. Terrorism is not a word one thinks about when one thinks about bullying. But the nature of bullying has changed. I mean, you've been an educator now since the 1970s.
Yeah.
That was long before social media, long before the advent of cell phones and all of that. How has the technology of today made your work more difficult?
Well, the bullying doesn't mean the same anymore as when you and I were in school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but when I was a kid, it was all face-to-face bullying,
that's
right?
That's right. Now the anonymity of social media is the enemy. It's out there. It's 24/7, for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
You don't escape it when you go home. And so dealing with that kind of terrorism is difficult for teens and for children, and it seems to be younger and younger. The reason I named it terrorism is because it was a word that I coined when I wrote a book called When Push Comes to Shove Back. And it really was told from two different grade 9 boys' point of view.
Mm-hmm.
About one was a bully and one was a victim. And it seemed to me that terrorists worldwide and terrorists in a small school have the same qualities because they feed on someone's fear.
Right. Absolutely.
And that was the name, that was the reason for coining the word terrorist.
Mm-hmm. It seems to me when you're talking about this that we're so accustomed to, through the media, news media, seeing more of the high-profile cases, the ones that seem to be, quote-unquote, newsworthy, where we see extremes. I'm thinking now of Chaz and that story, but also
The case of Rena Virk in British Columbia, other cases of that young girl in Newfoundland in Labrador who ultimately committed suicide as a result of her terrorists.
And so I guess what I'm wondering is that how does your organization and the services that it provide try to fit into the care model for these types of people? Because I think I seem to feel like I'm referring to an extreme, and what you're talking about in terms of the service. How does that fit together, and how do you help?
So in our community, most, if not all, of the other mental health services rely on doctor referrals. Which is to say that one has to go to one's physician, and on his recommendation, you are recommended for mental health assistance, which is then paid for by OHIP.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of our clientele that we get at the NCCC, first of all, many don't have family doctors.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, almost all don't want to go to a family doctor to talk about whatever problem it is that is presenting, but want to be able to come in and say, I know myself best, and I have a problem. And so we accept the expertise of somebody who comes in and says, I have a problem. To further answer your question,
please.
I think often we have treatment in silos. And that's mm-hmm. not just here, but that's everywhere. Mm-hmm. So somebody will treat a youth with depression. Someone will treat a mother who can't handle her teenager. Mm-hmm. Somebody will be offering parenting skills to people who can't handle children in general or having difficulties. I think the family services model offers to the family unit. And so those problems become much more unified in terms of solutions.
On that note, we're going to take our first break of the hour. When we come back, more of our conversation here. You are listening to The Drive Time, Canada's only holistic political chat. Our guest in the studio is Janet Irvin. She is a career educator, and she has a specialty in dealing with hostile cultures. I can probably say that's the best way, hostile cultures in high school, bullying, and dealing with helping victims deal with that. We'll be right back.
Northumberland 89.7, Truly Local Radio, is looking for a radio sales representative to call on businesses in the Northumberland County region. Previous sales or media experience is an asset, however, we are willing to train the right candidate. You are an outgoing and enthusiastic, mature individual. You will be comfortable calling on local merchants, learning to understand their marketing challenges, and help them by providing solutions through advertising on our radio station. This is a commission-based position and can be either full-time or part-time. The more time and effort you put in, the more you will earn. For more information and to apply for this position, please send your resume to info@northumberland897.ca. Attention, Joanne Johnson.
I haven't always been a medium, but I have always heard voices. Hello, I'm psychic medium, author, and lecturer Linda Ouellette, and I'll be hosting Mind of a Medium, the radio show. I'll be live right here on Northumberland 89.7 from 10 to 11 a.m. to take your calls and share stories from my life as a medium. You can reach me at 905-372-2321 or find me on Facebook. Join me the first and third Tuesday of every month for Mind of a Medium on Northumberland 89.7, Truly Local Radio.
Got an upcoming event? Tell us and we'll share it with all of Northumberland. Email your information to info@northumberland897.ca.
Yeah. Welcome back to the broadcast, and you are listening to Northumberland 89.7. This is Truly Local Radio. This is Consider This Live. And, Rob, I know you have a question.
Yeah, please. I understand that what we talk about family counseling, that's only part of what the Northumberland Counseling Center does. Can you explain maybe a bit more about what are the other things that it does in the community?
One of our biggest mandates is to deal with trauma. And so we're very closely connected with the OPP, with police services, with victim services. And so we provide counseling for victims of violence. That is not always immediate when the violence has occurred, but it may be years later when someone is finally ready to talk about it. And so often the presenting issue isn't violence, but it's depression or mm-hmm. anxiety, and eventually you find out that the root of that problem has been some kind of violence. And in our society, we assume, and rightly so to a certain extent, that violence is against women. But more and more, we're seeing family violence.
Right.
We're seeing violence against men. We're seeing in same-sex marriages, we're seeing violence. We're seeing a family approach to violence is key, because you're dealing with children who are witnesses, who mm-hmm. may perpetrate the same kind of violence in the next generation if something doesn't intervene.
And these are children who oftentimes don't feel as though they have anyone they can talk to. That's outside right. of that situation. I mean, I have a friend of mine who is a grown man. He was a successful business person on Bay Street. He witnessed a physical altercation on the street. He wasn't part of it, but he was re-traumatized because he grew up in a very violent household. And he had assumed, as he became an adult and went off to college and got educated and got into the professional field, that that was all behind him. And then he witnessed this altercation on the street, and it triggered, and now he suffers from post-traumatic stress. He's now disabled as a result of this. And he grew up in a home where his father was a police officer, a police detective, actually, in another part of Ontario. So he definitely didn't feel as though he had anyone he could turn to growing up because he was living in this type of environment. And this is what we're talking about, right? Children who feel as though they have no one to turn to.
No, and women and men who also feel that they have no one to turn to.
Can you explain the relationship you have with the police and how that works?
Certainly. We work together on the situation table, which I think most people are aware of. The situation table has been running now for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. We are partners there, and we offer assistance to people who are brought to that table as a sort of last resort. We work with the OPP in trying to provide services for mentally ill people that they... one of the problems in our area is that the OPP pick up off hours. They respond to calls about mental illness over and over and over. In fact, the estimate... I'm chair of the Alnwick-Haldimand Police Services Board, so I have a bit of a different lens to look at this as well. And almost 70% of the calls that across Ontario that police get are for mental illness in one form or another. No longer is it most for crime.
Now, do you have any statistics locally about the level of need or the level of services that are being provided around mental health? What sort of statistics are you privileged to?
There aren't a lot of services. I can tell. There aren't a lot of statistics. I know that the LIN supports hospitals and the mental health services that are provided in the hospitals. They sponsor forecast addiction services, and they sponsor CMHA, mental health services. I know that the statistics for us are staggering. We, in 2015, we were receiving 20 new referrals a month. In 2016, we were receiving 36 new referrals per month. And this year, so far in 3 months, we are averaging 46 new referrals per month.
Now, how many total do you serve, just so that we can get an idea of the scale? Like, how many people are you serving at any one time?
Whoa.
A year.
I honestly can't give you the statistics for a year. Round figures, we're probably looking at about 1,000 at any one time.
Now, this is a spike, though, right? Is it that people think that there are more services available, and then this is why they're asking for help? Or is it just, I mean, are these related to the economy? What is it that's driving this many people to seek
help?
Well,
and I might mention that's the community counseling piece only. That's not violence against women. That's not the PARS program. That's simply our Northumberland community. And I think there are probably two or three reasons for the... I don't know that I would call it a spike. I think, first of all, we're getting a little better known in the community.
Okay.
Secondly, I think that the things like Let's Talk, Bell Let's Talk, have made it more and more okay to bring these problems to the forefront.
So we're diminishing the stigma.
Yeah, and people are much more willing to make that phone call, especially if it's to a center that doesn't make a lot of requirements.
Right.
And so I think we're seeing a general increase in people's response to their own issues. I always say that I think people call us when they have exhausted their personal resources to deal with their problems. And if we can offer some strategies and some help at that point, it's really important. I think we offer three things that make it palatable to call us. And I think the first thing is easy access.
Okay.
They can make a phone call, they can walk in. Mm-hmm. The second is uncomplicated referrals. We're not we don't demand a medical chart. We don't demand a referral from anybody. We do an intake, and that's it. And we don't have long waiting lists because we have a model of counseling that offers four counseling sessions. We reevaluate. We see where that's gone. Has that been enough? Do they need more? And finally, I think we offer high quality care. And I think that a lot of people in the county don't realize the quality of care that's offered through the family services agencies.
So we're seeing then, so it's not a spike, but we're seeing perhaps more people becoming self-aware of their mental health stability.
Yeah.
More people becoming, and we talked about the removal of the stigma for mental health. I grew up 70s and the 80s. I remember people talking about, you know, I have a psychologist. I see a counselor every week or whatever. And back in the day, you know, if you saw a counselor, that meant there was some form of personal weakness. But now, you know, more and more people are seeing counselors. It's as though it's like having a life coach. It's like having somebody else you can talk to in times where you don't feel as though there is someone you can talk to.
That's right. I said to somebody yesterday that in my view of things, mm-hmm. when someone picks up the phone or walks in and says, I need help, that is a sign of strength.
Yes.
Because that's a sign of someone who's strong enough to say, I want to continue being the master of my own life and I want help to do that because I know right now that I'm not doing a good job. And that takes a lot of strength.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I keep coming back to this ecosystem of services because it's really hard, I think, for people to kind of figure out how this all fits in. But you, when you were giving the stats, you were talking about 1,000 people that you serve. But then you immediately said, wait a minute, that doesn't include these referral things that we do. Can you give us a better scope then of how many people in total you're serving?
It's one of the statistics I didn't look at before I came here, to be quite honest with you. But I hesitate to guess, but the numbers are limited by the funding from the ministry. So, for example, we serve in the PARS program, we serve 80 men and women. We run 5 groups a year. We run one nonstop kind of thing so that people can enter and leave as they are mandated to come. But the top number is what we're funded for is 80. And so those programs, although they provide a terrific service, are very are directed. And so they don't have the numbers that the community service has.
If I had a child that was maybe had an addiction problem, would you be the type of service that I would come to, or would I be being referred to another kind of service within the community?
Well, I think you could come to us initially, but we're not just because we're social workers.
Mm-hmm.
We are partnered with an incredible number of partner services in the community. As executive director, I work with, I don't know, probably 30 to 40 organizations in the community, and we refer. That's part of the services that we offer. So we might do the initial intake interview.
Mm-hmm.
We might say, are there siblings who are affected by this? Do mm-hmm. they need some assistance? Do mom and dad need assistance? Those things we might be able to provide. But if the addiction is the problem, we're not the experts. So we would say, depending on the level mm-hmm. and so on, and age and all that, we would direct that person to the services that are the experts.
So you're really like a hub that you can come into, not a lot of barriers to getting some initial assessments, and then you can measure then the level of service needed, either you provide it or you refer it elsewhere.
That's right. There's a very structured triage system to what we do.
Interesting.
All right, well, we do have a caller on the line, and we're going to take that caller right now. Welcome back to the broadcast, Ed.
How you doing? So you got a dinosaur here. And I've been trying to understand this, what you guys are talking about. And, of course, you know, I'm old enough that obviously things have changed. So I have basically two questions.
Okay.
my first question is, why are so many people unable to deal with situations anymore that they have to run to different places? Like, we all grew up with no money and bullying at school and all these other things.
Mm-hmm.
We all grew up with that. We all worry about, you know, house payments and cars breaking and
paying,
you know,
the bills, yeah.
All this kind of stuff. It everybody has that. It just seems all of a sudden all kinds of people are just all of a sudden not able to deal with that situation. Okay, that's one question that I'm curious of. And the other is, what is bullying nowadays? Like, you know, everybody says, oh, you can't get away from it. And like I say, I don't understand it. That's why I'm asking the question.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to make you know, any kind of comment. I don't understand it. You know, used to be, you know, you're stupid, you're ugly, you know, whatever. And I get that they can't get away from it because they're on their computers all the time.
Okay, so you have two questions then. Why are people seeking out more mental health now?
No, is it a certain group of people that have been told they're wonderful all along, and then they find out life kicks them in the butt and they can't deal with that? Why are there all of a sudden so many more people, evidently,
mm-hmm.
that can't handle their own affairs? And the other question is just from my own information, like what is considered bullying nowadays?
Okay, so two reasonable questions, I think.
Okay.
We're going to try and answer those for you. I'm going to thank you for your call, though.
Yeah, okay. I'll go now. Yep.
So two questions then.
Mm-hmm. The first one, I think, is not quite, I don't see it the same way in terms of posing the question. I think many years ago, when I was a child, there was, first of all, a huge stigma to saying that you couldn't handle anything, particularly for men.
Mm-hmm.
That you just didn't say that you were having issues. Secondly, there was not a society where there was help. We did not have any kind of organizations that dealt with mental health unless you went into some kind of an asylum.
Mm-hmm.
And that was considered mental health back in the day. Thirdly, I think that we have come a long way in recognizing our own weaknesses and in being able to say, I need some help. I need to talk to somebody. And furthermore, I think back when a while ago, we had resources in family support and so on, and friend support that we have that has been diminished by the movement of society. We don't stay as a family unit in the same area anymore. We don't have grandparents in the same area. We don't have lifelong friends. We move about a great deal.
So the support mechanisms that we used to have just aren't in place any longer.
They're not in place for a large extent to people. And I think people don't need a lot of help. For the most part, people who come into our counseling center need brief counseling.
Mm-hmm.
They need to see a way out of whatever they're involved in. So I think if we take the place in many cases of the support that used to be there in other ways. Finally, I would also make a comment that we don't have any statistics from those years about mental health. And it's, I think, we would be surprised at how many people who couldn't cope mm-hmm. just fell off the grid and often took their own lives, went off to by themselves and were isolated in the community.
So that's the one question.
Yeah.
The other question was bullying. What is bullying now? How is bullying different now? I think Ed's question was then what it was when he was growing up. I mean, as he said, when he was growing up, it was always like, you know, you're ugly, you know, your clothes don't fit properly.
Bullying is insidious, and I'll just use an example. I think that maybe can show you the difference. Girls in grade 7, 8 are often very cliquish and very mean. And having raised three girls, each of them went through those years when they weren't accepted, they were ostracized, and all of that And that's what I call bullying and what I think our caller calls bullying. However, if you take that and have each of those girls who are bullying go online and make comments about you, about what you should do to yourself, what you, the fact that you're worthless, and if they asked for other girls to friend their comments and spread their comments, by the next morning, you don't have a clique in a schoolyard who's saying nasty things to you. You have an entire school community who knows all these things that have been put on Facebook, put on social media about you, including pictures that may not be pictures you want anyone to see, including comments that would be shocking to us. So I think that's the difference. It's the scope of the bullying.
Mm-hmm. Well, and as Ed said, I mean, you know, when we were younger, it was limited to school.
Yeah.
You know, you'd get up in the morning and think, geez, I don't want to go to school today. I don't want to have to face that bully. But now you don't even have that consideration because they're there now. They're at home with you. They are spreading stories about you on Facebook, talking about you behind your back. But now it's not so much behind your back anymore. It's now a broader audience. Yeah.
So when you go back to school the next day, it's not that one little group of girls that you have to face. Mm-hmm. It's the whole school.
Right.
I also think it's more vicious. I mean, far, far more vicious and far more mean-spirited and damaging to mm-hmm. self-esteem. I mean, you know, it's one thing to be called ugly. I'd be the first one to look in the mirror and say, yeah, I'm ugly. But, I mean, some of the comments that you see online are just...
They're vicious.
Well, you're ugly and you should kill yourself.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, encouraging right. encouraging self-harm. So.
Yeah, exactly. Now, as far as the other issue, though, with regards to why more people are becoming aware, this is something that we touched on briefly before, Ed, which was that people are more introspective. They're more willing to ask the question, and a lot of people who seek mental health, really the advantage to them is that they realize that they're not the only person feeling this way.
That's right.
There's that, because there's that personal isolation that occurs with people who suffer from mental health, and if they don't have an avenue to share their angst or to share their concerns or their grief, a lot of times they don't realize that they aren't in it by themselves. I mean, I think mental health programs, groups and things like that, group therapy, I mean, it's a lot like Alcoholics Anonymous, right? It's a lot like it's a support group. So it's not so much about mental health, really, as it is about support groups, right? And this is what you were getting at when you were talking about how families aren't there anymore as support groups.
Right.
You don't have your aunts and uncles to talk to. We're going to take our second break of the hour. When we come back, more of our conversation right here on Truly Local Radio, Northumberland 89.7. You're listening to The Drive Time. We will be right back.
Did you ever expect a radio show to be this great?
No, I just tuned in. I hadn't been really enjoying radio. At first I thought, I'm not going to like it. But here I am every day, listening, singing. I'm so happy to have found this show.
Listen to The Morning Show with Jim Glover, Monday to Friday, 7 till 10. News, weather, and sports on the hour, plus great features. Cameco Northumberland, Big Beat, The Chicken Man, Lost Rock and Roll Classics, and many other surprises, all right here on Northumberland 89.7, Truly Local Radio.
Tune in Mondays, 10 to 11 p.m. for Guitar Gear and More, brought to you by Long & McQuaid Musical Instruments. The show that reviews guitar gear and more and then showcases the bands who made it happen. You'll hear interviews with local talent and a special Long & McQuaid segment that keeps you in the loop of upcoming music trends and events, plus expert tips from our Long & McQuaid experienced instructors. Guitar Gear and More, Mondays 10 to 11 p.m.
Long & McQuaid, where the music begins.
Do you own a business and would like to promote it? Look no further than Northumberland 89.7. Call us at 905-372-2391 for more details.
And welcome back to The Drive Time. My guest in the studio is Rob Washburn for our weekly installment of Consider This Live. And joining us is lifelong educator and author, Janet Irvines, and she's talking today about mental health issues. We're really kind of focusing on youth mental health issues, because one of the things that surprised me when you came in here is that a lot of the numbers we have, a lot of the stats that we have with regards to mental health in the community are for people 65 years of age and over. So not a lot of discussion, really, about what's happening with youth issues. We've seen a number of situations here locally. The Chaz Petrella story is one that comes to mind for sure. But I know a number of other children who are in the community right now and who they and their families are really struggling.
It's interesting, too, because I understand you've been going around talking to some politicians locally about this situation. And I was wondering if you could tell us a bit about that and what you've been doing.
I will, but I will also comment about the youth, because it's youth is a small portion of the people that we serve. Mm-hmm. We've been looking at that today and putting a focus on that on this conversation. But we deal with a great many with every age. And so we have individual counseling, we provide family counseling, we provide couples counseling, group counseling. And so we're looking at every age. And although the statistics are 65 and above, they're not necessarily for mental health, they're for long-term care facilities.
Right.
And so there is as much need in that segment of the community, perhaps more, for mental health services than as there are with any other age group. So the statistics are very skewed in the direction mm-hmm. of long-term care facilities. To answer your question, we are always in a balancing act to try to balance our services with the funding that's available. And for year after year, United Way has been our main supporter, our only supporter for the last 2 years from the community. And so I took it upon myself to go to a number of township meetings when the budgets were being planned and to present a case for township and municipalities to support mental health, because we have clients from every single township.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly from Northumberland County. We have referrals coming in from agencies in every township and from all over Northumberland County. So I made a presentation to Northumberland County and to each of the seven townships. I didn't get to them all, and I will say that right up front. I think I made four presentations, but I did write emails to every single council member of each township council. Surprisingly, actually shockingly, we received one small donation, significant donation, but in the long scheme of things, fairly small, from one township council.
Which one?
Hamilton Township.
Okay. How much was it for?
$1,000.
Okay.
But nobody else has responded. Have you gotten any responses to the emails that you sent?
No.
Really?
No.
Why is that?
And I must say that Hamilton Township Police Services Board also donated $1,000.
What do you think is going on there?
I think that in the case of the county, they have dedicated their money to the homelessness issue. That mm-hmm. was the response from Lisa Horn. I met with Lisa, and we chatted about all the different needs of the county.
Mm-hmm.
And but her budget is marked for the homelessness initiative.
And who's she?
She's the person in charge of community and social services.
Okay, at the county.
At the county.
Okay.
Well, on that note, we're going to take our last break of the hour. When we come back, more of our conversation with Janet Irvine, and of course, Rob Washburn is here for our weekly installment of Consider This Live. I'm Dave Glover. We will be right back.
Farley Mowat, Marie Dressler, James Coburn, and the great Farini. You will hear their stories and many more as Northumberland 89.7 presents Northumberland 150. Created and presented by musician and lifelong resident Cale Crow. This 50-part series will spotlight truly local stories from the past century and a half. Northumberland 150, heard every Tuesday at 8:40 a.m., Thursday at 2:40 p.m., Saturday at 11:40 a.m. And each weekly episode will be available on podcast. Celebrate Canada's 150th birthday with us as we present Northumberland 150 right here on Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.
In 37.
Bingo!
Was that a bingo?
Come on out to Hometown Bingo and try your luck. Open 7 days a week. Bring a friend and have some fun socializing while having a chance to win some money. Hometown Bingo has 35 charitable sponsors, and last year over $370,000 went back into the local communities in Northumberland. We are located at 884 Division Street. Call 905-372-5426 or go to hometownbingo.ca. Our license number is 7884.
Hi, this is Lane with What's Happening This Week. The Port Hope Comedy Festival, Thursday night at the Ganny, Friday at the Carlisle, Saturday at Tutorial Gusto. Show starts at 9 p.m. Saturday, float your fanny down the Ganny, starting at 10 a.m. for the canoes, Crazy Crafts at 11 a.m., the United Way Lucky Ducky Race. Race starts at 11:45. First prize, $200. Second prize, $100. Third prize, a Port Hope package. The ducks are $10 each or three for $25. Sunday, a fundraising pancake breakfast at the Rosneath Firefighters Association, 9 a.m. till 2 p.m. 50-50 draw, live music, fire truck display, and horse-drawn hay wagon rides at the Rosneath Fairgrounds. Monday at Port Hope Library at 6 o'clock, the Coronation Ping. Come on in and talk Cory Talk. We'll have games, prizes, biscuits, and a nice cup of tea. If you have an event coming up, you can contact us at info@northumberland897.ca. This is Lane with What's Happening This Week.
The difference is in the listening. Northumberland 89.7 features unique programs and a great variety of music you won't hear anywhere else. Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.
Thank you.
And welcome back to the broadcast. With us in the studio is Janet Irvine, a educator, teacher, special education professional, as well as an author. She's written a book on bullying, which is sounds like a great book, actually. Should probably be part of the curriculum. Before we went to the break, though, we were talking about the, I'm going to just throw it out there, the lack of support from municipal and the county governments here. Again, they've got a lot on their plate, but, you know, as we know, I mean, when we support mental health, we support our economy.
So my question then is, Janet, is why should municipalities even be approached in the first place? What's your argument to say municipalities should be putting money into the Northumberland Counseling Center?
Well, I guess the first altruistic reason is that we are helping their citizens, mm-hmm. the citizens that they represent.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think the issue that should have hit home with them is the financial issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we, the more that we can prevent, the less people are having to pay for people at the emerge at the hospital, for people who are going to down the line cost our systems a lot more money. Plus, the businesses that are housed in our county are paying a price for mental illness.
So, but municipalities, they have a mandate to do provide certain services, and they collect municipal taxes to provide those services. What you're talking about, though, sounds more like a provincial responsibility. Health, mental health, those seem to be provincial things. Why should a municipality now start to be bearing this burden on top of all the other burdens that they have?
Well, it's not a new burden. Northumberland County sponsored and supported the Northumberland Community Counseling Center for years, until 2 years ago when the funding was withdrawn. So many counties sponsor the mental health in their counties, and local governments represent the people.
Why did they withdraw their funding 2 years ago?
There was very little explanation.
And how much were they supporting? At what level?
$35,000.
And that just disappeared 2 years ago?
Yes.
Okay. If municipalities are one source of funding that you've been going to, what are some of the others that you've been approaching, or who else have you been approaching in terms of trying to elicit funds?
Well, locally, we've been looking at trying to approach businesses and mm-hmm. corporations. One of the things that we hope to advance is EAP, the Employee Assistance Programs. Typically, these are contracted with huge organizations, mm-hmm. and the services are not always the best or local. And so we want to urge local businesses and corporations to provide employee assistance locally mm-hmm. through the Family Services Organization. It's done across the province, and we see no reason why we couldn't supply those services locally. It's much more convenient for people who are accessing the service. In addition, we're going to approach other individual people for donations. We're starting to work with Lynn to try to access provincial funding on a different level. The Lynn across Ontario, there are Lynns who support social family services organizations, and there are Lynns that don't. Unfortunately, the Central East Lynn at this time does not.
Is there a particular reason for that?
Not that I know of.
All right. So besides the services that you provide for the provincial programs, then the United Way is your major funder then?
It is the only funder at this time.
And you are a nonprofit organization?
We are a nonprofit organization.
Okay. So as part of your work with the United Way and the United Way working with you, they are sponsoring this upcoming concert, which will be at Victoria Concert Hall on May 26th. And Dan Hill, everybody, is coming to Cobourg. He's coming to Victoria Hall Concert Hall. This is not his first trip either to Cobourg. He was at the Loft a couple of years ago well for a big fundraiser. And Mr. Hill and Grafton native Wendy Irvine performed at Northumberland Community Counseling Center's annual general meeting at the Loft. This is your daughter.
It is my daughter, and it wasn't a fundraiser. It was a free concert by Dan Hill.
Very good, very good. So again, if you want to see Dan Hill, he's coming to Victoria Hall, folks, on May 26th.
As is Wendy.
As is Wendy. And it's part of, and this is a fundraiser, right?
It is, yes.
For Northumberland Community Counseling Centers. So taking us out at the top of this hour, I want to thank my guest, Janet Irvine, for being here. Thank you very much. We only touched the tip of the iceberg.
We did.
If you will. If we were the Titanic, we wouldn't have seen this one coming. Rob Washburn, my usual co-host here for Consider This Live. We're taking you out with Vonda Shepherd and Dan Hill with Can't We Try? Can we try a little harder, everybody? I'm Dave Glover. Thanks for tuning in. A reminder, we don't write the world at Truly Local Radio, but we do report it each and every day.
I see your face cloud over like a little girl's, and your eyes have lost their shine. You whisper something softly I'm not meant to hear. Baby, tell me what's on your mind.
I don't care what people say about the two of us. Love you so much that it hurts inside. Are you listening?
Please listen to me, girl.
Can we try just a little bit harder? Can we give just a little bit more? Can we try to understand that it's love we're fighting for? Tears me up inside.